This morning, we're going to talk about the purpose of storms. The purpose of storms. And I want to paint a picture that I think many of you, especially if you've driven through some rain here in the state of Ohio, you will understand this imagery very quickly. How many of you have been on your way to a meeting or to visit relatives in another city or state, and it began to rain? At first, the rain comes down in a steady flow, and you turn your windshield wipers on to one of the lower speed settings. The windshield wipers are able to remove the raindrops so that your vision is not impaired, and you can see the road immediately ahead of you and in the distance very clearly. You barely notice the sound of the raindrops hitting your car. You reduce your traveling speed, but not by too much. Then the rain begins to come down a little faster, a little harder, and with a little more intensity. You increase the speed setting on your windshield wipers, and they are still able to remove the raindrops, but not as quickly. And your vision, while not impaired, is beginning to lessen. The sky has gotten much darker. You can't see the road as clearly as you could before, and you can see much less of the road in the distance. Now you begin to notice the sound of the rain as it's hitting your car, and as if in slow motion. You can see the raindrops hit your car and disperse, and you reduce your traveling speed again, this time a lot. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, it seems like the skies open and the rains begin to pour. The rainfall is now a full-fledged storm. The sky is nearly black. The raindrops are pounding your car. You increase the speed setting on your windshield wipers. They're now on the maximum setting, but you can barely see the road in front of you. Never mind seeing in the distance. The sound of the rain hitting your car now sounds like a jackhammer on pavement. Now you just don't reduce your traveling speed, but you pull over to the side of the road. You stop. Your plan to sit on the side of the road until the storm passes. How many of you been there? Okay. Does it sound familiar? You're on your way out of town and you run into what you think is going to be just a steady rainfall. And then it turned into a car-pounding storm. What has just happened? The storm stopped you, at least temporarily, from reaching your destination. The storm caused you to make a decision to pull off the road you were on. This morning we're going to look at the purpose of storms in our lives. A storm can be an unexpected financial crisis. A storm can be an illness that happens all of a sudden. A storm can be the sudden loss of a job. A storm can be a marriage relationship that's on the rocks. Whatever it is, a storm is a situation that you find yourself in that makes you feel helpless. You feel that if someone doesn't do something, you may not make it. If you're married, you're thinking, we may not make it. Let's look at a storm in the life of Jesus and the disciples. I want you to pay close attention to two things. Number one, how the disciples responded to the storm. And number two, how Jesus responded to the storm. And we're going to turn to Luke chapter 8. And in Luke chapter 8, it's the familiar story of the sower and the seed. Luke chapter 8. But before reading this verse, let's look at what has happened in this chapter. Jesus has been preaching and teaching the good news of the kingdom of God in the surrounding cities and villages. Verse 1 of chapter 8. And it came to pass. Now, chapter 8 begins with the word "and." So if you want to get the full impact of what's going on in chapter 8, go back to chapter 7. Chapter 7 has to do with several things, but the last one has to do with the Pharisee inviting Jesus to have to break bread. And then this lady who's a sinner comes in, washes his feet with her hair, and all these sort of things, okay? And then at the end of the chapter, Jesus says that, go your daughter, go your way, your faith has made you whole, okay? And then we get to chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom. The 12 were with him. The 12 were with him, okay? And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzal, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable: a sower went to sow his seed. Okay. Now in verse 5, he starts with the parable. He gives the parable in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And in verse 9, the disciples ask him to explain it. And Jesus does so in verses 10 through 15. I'll let you all read that later on because we read it so many times before. But let's look at verse 15. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth with patience. Okay. I want to call your attention to the word keep it. Okay? They've heard the word. Having heard the word, they keep it. They keep it. Now, this word keep, it gives the impression of you grabbed it with your hand and you closed your hand so that it cannot get away. That's the image that this word keep presents to us. Not only did the person on good ground, they heard it, but they grabbed a hold of it. They held on to it. They didn't let it go. What they heard, they were going to keep. Okay, they were going to keep. And because they kept it, it says, and bring forth fruit with patience. I can teach you the word. Brother Don can teach you the word. Our pastor can teach you the word. But unless you grab a hold of it, unless you hold on to it, unless you make that word your word and not the pastor's word, you're not going to bring forth fruit. Okay? Now that's important. I want you to remember that. We know that the seed that is sown is the word of God. And how is the word of God sown in our lives? We have to read it. We have to speak it. The more we read the Word of God and the more we speak the Word of God into our own lives, the more it will take root in our lives and produce what God has designed it to produce. Do you hear me? The Word will produce in your life what God intends for it to produce, not what you want it to produce. There's a difference. God's design versus your design. The Word will follow God's design. Okay? The Bible says faith comes by hearing. This is Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing and understanding the word of God. Because the word hearing means not only just hearing, but understanding. So I just put the two together. Implied in the word hearing is hearing and understanding and obeying. Obeying. Remember James talked about not just being a hearer only. You hear the word. But if you are a hearer only, you are not grabbing the word. You are not holding on to the word. You are not making the word part of you. And if you don't make the word part of you, John chapter 14, verse 12, the things that I do, ye shall do also, it's a dream. It is a dream with a capital D. It's not going to happen. Faith comes no other way. You hear the word of God, then you do what you've heard. Now look at verse 22. Because verse 22 is where we want to go. But before I read verse 22, go back up to verse 19. Because we just read that in verse 15, you have to, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having received the word, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Verse 19. Then came to him His then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which do what? Hear the word and do it. These are the ones who do verse 15. Do you see that? Okay, now going into verse 22. And he answered and said unto them, and now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Jesus tells the disciples to get into the ship so they can go to the other side. What is Jesus' intent? To get to the other side. What does he want to do? He wanted to get to the other side. Now, do you think the enemy of the soul wanted Jesus to get to the other side? This story is not in here by accident, people. There's a lesson. Okay? Do you think the enemy of the soul may try to find a way to stop him? When it comes to God's plan for your life, do you think the enemy of the soul is going to try to keep you from fulfilling it? If you were here last week and heard my testimony, from age 17 until I was 47 years old, the enemy of the soul kept me off the path of my destiny. For 30 years, okay, he kept me off my path. So to answer this question, just in case you don't know, is yes. Okay? I try to keep my messages real simple. Do you think he's going to try to find ways to get you off the path that God has for you, to get you pulled over to the side of the road? Remember the storm wants you to pull over to the side of the road? Look at verse 23. But as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. I want you to notice something. The verse says they were filled with water. The storm was so great that not only was the ship being filled with water, the disciples were too. The circumstance, the storms, was not only drowning the ship, but it was drowning the disciples too. They were on the verge of being in over their heads. There was a time in our lives that it seemed like Doris and I never had enough money. I mean, we would pay the mortgage, buy food, buy gas for the car. But we had debt, so much so that I had to get a second job delivering newspapers. Early in the morning before going to my regular job, just so we would have money to pay the debt. This was a storm in our lives that brought with it stress and anxiety. We were on the verge of being in over our heads with the debt. When this happens, you feel like you're suffocating. You can't breathe. You're in a closed room and someone has removed the doorknob. The debt feels like a heavy boulder that is just laying on your chest. We were able to get away from under the debt, but we paid a price. It affected our health. It affected our marriage. Always remember, every storm has its price, and every storm has a lesson. The storm may change, and this is what I want you to hear. The storm may change, but the lesson doesn't. And we're going to see in a moment what this lesson is. Verse 24. And they, the disciples, came to him, Jesus, and awake him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. I want you to get this picture. These men were seasoned fishermen. They were not newbies, okay? There are very few things, if any, that they have not experienced at sea. They've gone through the storms before, but this one, it was a storm that frightened them. It caused them to act like newbies. Fear gripped them. And all of their knowledge, their training, their experiences, it meant nothing. The storm overwhelmed them. Fear had clouded their minds. They became irrational. They couldn't think clearly. This is how the disciples responded. Okay? The enemy of the soul had taken the word out of their hearts. Remember back in chapter 8? See, we hadn't left chapter 8. In chapter 8, Jesus says that he comes to steal the word immediately. He had taken them out of their hearts. Look at verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside, I didn't put enough poly grip on my dentures this morning. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to fruition or to perfection. And this is what we're seeing right now in the lives of the apostles when they're on this ship. All three verses apply to them. The enemy of the soul has taken the word. He has stolen it out. Ladies and gentlemen, when you face a storm with fear in your hearts, you are at the mercy of the storm. And you have given the enemy of the soul a glimpse into your life that he will use against you over and over and over and over again. Fear, ladies and gentlemen, will defeat you. It will neutralize you. Fear will kill your faith. Say it with me. Fear will kill my faith. Okay? Now let's look how Jesus responded to the storm. The verse says Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and the water, and they ceased. I like how the contemporary English version renders this verse. It says, Jesus got up and ordered the wind and the waves to stop. They obeyed and everything was calm. I'm going to read that again. Jesus got up. You know, it's almost like, you know, if you're going to wake me up, then it must be something that is really bad and it's got to stop. So they wake Jesus up, and he orders the wind and the waves to stop, and they obeyed, and everything was calm. What did Jesus do? He used his authority as a son of God. Say it with me, I am a son, I am a daughter of God. Okay? He used his authority as the son of God and spoke to the storm. Say it with me, I speak to storms. They obey. We are sons and daughters of God, are we not? Yes. And Jesus is our example, our role model for how we are to live as God's sons and daughters, is he not? Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verse 12, that if we believe on him, if we believe and do what he says, then we will do the works that he did. When storms enter into your life, what should be your first and only response, sons and daughters of God? Now, I'm going to say something that a lot of people are going to say called blasphemy. It's going to step away from it because they don't want to get struck by lightning. But what I'm about to say to you is truth. I'm going to read the question again. When storms enter into your life, what should be your first and only response, sons and daughters of God? We don't pray to God to do something. Do you hear me? You don't pray to God to do something about your storm. He has already done everything that he's going to do. You hear me? Praying to God, I'm going to put it in terms that will help you understand this. Praying to God is wasted breath. Wasted breath. WB. Remember when Paul was struggling with the thorn in the flesh? God told him, don't worry about it, Paul. I got you covered. I'll take care of it. He didn't say that. You know what God essentially told Paul? Why are you crying to me? Why are you crying to me? I've already given you everything you need to take care of this storm in your life. So I'm just going to sit and see if you're going to use what I have given you to use. So ladies and gentlemen, whenever you hear someone saying, you know, there's something going on in their life and they're going to pray to God to help them, you got a choice. You can let them pray to God for help and not get any answers, or you can take the time to help them see that God has already given them the answer, and it's called the new nature on the inside of you that has the same authority, that has the same power that Jesus had. Because as long as they're praying to God to do something, it's not happening. It is not going to happen. I don't charge extra for stuff like that, okay? You got that because you showed up this morning. You order it to stop. You order it to leave. You order it to vacate the premises. And when you do, the calm will return. The peace will return. How many can use some more peace in their lives? Okay? Then act like who you are. Okay? Verse 25. And he, Jesus, said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid, wondering, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. You know what manner of man he was? He was a man who had the character and nature of God on the inside. When we get born again, we are men and women who have the character and the nature of God on the inside. So what manner of man they asked about Jesus is the manner of men and women we are today. Can I get an amen? Now, I want you to notice something. Notice the first question that Jesus asked them. He didn't ask them why they were afraid. He didn't ask them if they were okay. He didn't ask them if there was any damage to the boat. Did he? That wasn't his first question, was it? No. He asked them the only question that mattered. Why didn't you have faith? That is the only question that mattered. Ladies and gentlemen, that is really the only question that should matter to us. Now see, if you're not walking in love, when someone's talking to you about a storm, if you're not walking in love, you'll just look at the person and say, then why didn't you have faith? But see, if you're walking in love, you'll say, hold on, let's talk this out a little bit. So you help them get to the place where they can hear you tell them you didn't have any faith. And, you know, I remember the first time the pastor talked about, and this has been a number of years ago, about why we pray for someone and they don't get healed immediately, we don't see it, or they don't get healed at all, and he says it's because the person doing the praying didn't have faith. He laid it on the person doing the praying. I never heard that. I had never heard that. You know, if I'm going to volunteer to pray for you, then it better come to pass, because if it's not, it's Barry's fault. Ain't that what he was saying? If you're going to be bold enough to go up there and pray, and doesn't happen, it's buried, it's your fault. But see, I want you to listen to the real message in that. The only thing that has done for you is shown you that you got work to do. It's not blame, it's not criticism, it's only saying you were trying to pray for something that required this much faith, but your faith is right here. And so you need to do what it takes to bridge this gap of where your faith is versus what is required to meet that need. That's not a criticism. That's a loving God showing you that you can get there if you continue to do what you're doing, you can get there. Okay? So, Jesus didn't ask them why they were afraid. He didn't ask them if they were okay. He didn't ask them if there was damage to the boat. He only asked them the question that mattered. Why didn't you have faith? The storm doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. What matters is, are you living by faith? Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, and this is my paraphrase. God wants us to live by what he says, not by what we see. He wants us to trust him with every part of our lives, even when it seems like the storm is about to overtake us. If you can do that, then listen to this. And you know, I wrote this. This is not from Barry, okay? And you are going to see this real quick. If you can do that, then everything God says will be bread for you. It will be life for you. Amen? Now, why would Jesus ask the disciples that particular question? Why would he ask them, why didn't you have faith? Remember the parable of the sower in verses 14 through 15. Remember how the devil came after the seed, the word, was sown to steal it out of their hearts? One of the ways he steals the word is by choking it out of us. Remember verse 14? The word choked means to strangle completely, to drown out or to crowd out. The image it produces, I want you to think about it. If you have a sickness and you don't deal with it, the sickness begins to expand, does it not? And as the sickness begins to expand, it crowds out the healthy life, the healthy cells, right? And that's what the enemy of the soul wants to do. He wants to crowd out life with his death. Okay? He wants to crowd out life, which is the word of God, with his death. Choke means to strangle completely, to drown, or to crowd out. The image it produces, the devil throwing so much at you that your mind begins to be overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. Your emotions are bouncing all over the place. You have no peace. The enemy of the soul has caused you to focus on the storm, the cares of life, and not God's word. So, ladies and gentlemen, what is the lesson that every storm that comes into your life teaches you? That if you are not living by every word of God, then the storm is going to cause you problems. If you're not living by faith, the storm is going to cause you problems. What was the whole subject of the chapter? The sower sows the word. And so the sower has sown the word, and then as soon as the word was sown, they get in this boat, they go on to the other side, and the enemy strikes because he wants to steal what has been sown in their lives. That's it. That's what he wants to do. Okay? The enemy of the soul has caused you to focus on the storm, the cares of this life, and not on the word of God. This sly dog, ladies and gentlemen, has not changed. He did the same thing to Eve in the garden. When the Lord confronted Eve about what she had done, she said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." I like the way the Young Literal Translation puts this. And Jehovah God said to the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent caused me to forget, and I do eat." What did the serpent do? God had given them the word back in Genesis chapter 2. You can eat of any tree of the garden, but of the tree of the good and evil thou shalt not eat. That was the word that they received. Satan came and talked her out of it. Do you see that? The storms that the disciples faced talked them out of the word that they had received. Okay? Your storms, ladies and gentlemen, will talk you, figuratively speaking, out of God's word. So then you have a decision to make. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe their report? They were staring you in the face? Or are you going to believe the report, which is the truth of God's word? Those are the only two choices. You believe this report, I'm going to be very graphic, you die. Period. You die. You believe this report, you live. Those are your only choices. Because see, if you're not believing God's word, then you are believing a lie. And we know that a lie will kill you because it comes from the father of lies. And the father of lies only has one goal in mind, to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? The fear, the anxiety, the out-of-control emotions, we've all been there. We're suddenly thrust into a situation we didn't expect. And do you know, when many of these unexpected and surprising situations occur, and we just talked about it, they occur, most often after we've had an encounter with God and His Word. Think about it. The storms come to distract you from the Word. They cause you to forget what you've heard. That's what the devil does. He does not want the Word of God taking root in your life, because if it does, the storms he brings will not mean what they used to mean. They will not have the same impact they used to have. They will not fill you with fear and uncertainty like they used to do. Instead, you will respond to the storm as the son and daughter of God that you are, with authority and without fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." The word power in this verse is the Greek word dunamis. It means you have the power. You have the power, okay, to decide what stays in your life. You have the power to decide what does not stay in your life. Do you hear me? If there's something that's been lingering in your life that is not scripturally right, you allowed it to happen. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You can pray to God all you want. It's still going to stay because you allowed it to stay. God can't take anything that you don't, that anything that you want to hold on to. Hey, that was pretty good. I like that. But, you know, we seem to believe that God can do things that He, by His sovereignty, has said He will not do, which is violate our freedom of will, okay? You have the power to decide what stays in your life, and you have the power to decide on what doesn't stay in your life. You determine whether or not you are going to respond to the storms out of who you are, or out of who you used to be, or out of who you have become. The word sound mind means discipline or self-control. When you face storms, you have the power to face them with a mind that has been disciplined by the word of God. But if you are not putting on the word of God when the storms arrive, you will not have the word of God in your reservoir to draw from. An empty reservoir means that your life is open and available to the roaring lion who is seeking prey to devour. I don't have much longer, but I want to paint an image of this devouring lion, this roaring lion. You know how a lion roars, the prey freezes, the lion pounces. Now, the lion, for the most part, does not kill you immediately. What he does, he puts you in a position where you can't get away by wounding you, breaking your leg, whatever the case may be. And then so the lion, I want you to, this is your enemy, ladies and gentlemen. This is your enemy we're describing here. This lion will take the prey and toy with it, because the prey can't do anything. So he'll nibble on it, hear the prey scream in angers, and then he'll nibble a little bit here. He may slap it a little bit with his paw, but he's toying with his prey, as the life of their prey just oozes out. And see, your enemy wants to do the exact same thing to you. And then when the prey dies, He doesn't just eat the prey immediately. He will just take, and while the prey is alive, he will just bite the prey, just pull pieces of meat off the prey. And the poor thing is still alive, ladies and gentlemen. Remember when Jesus said that the enemy wanted to sift you as wheat? Same concept. He wants to piece by piece just take you apart, piece by piece. That's his goal. That's what he wants. And scripture says that we make ourselves devourable. We do it. We do it. It's on us. We can pray for God's protection all we want to. But if we're not doing what we need to do, we're not going to be protected. We're not going to be protected. I don't care how much you pray. I know some of you out there may think, okay, he's speaking blasphemy again, that God's not going to protect me. God will protect you if you are in alignment and harmony with him, if you are doing what he wants you to do. But he's not going to protect. It's not that he don't want to. I'm looking at the camera. It's not that he doesn't want to protect you. You are not allowing him. There's a big difference between God wanting to and you allowing him. Okay? Now I'm looking at y'all. It's good. Y'all heard it. My Tennessee slipped out, y'all. When the storms enter your life, and they will, remember that you have nothing to fear because your Heavenly Father has given you the power, which is the ability to handle, endure, and overcome the storm. He has given you the love, which is needed to produce the faith you'll need to handle, endure, and overcome the storm. And you have a disciplined mind, a mind that is peaceful and can hear the Lord's instruction for handling, enduring, and overcoming the storm. In this record, we see that Jesus knew that the Father wanted him to get to the other side. Jesus was on assignment. We are on assignment, ladies and gentlemen. He knew the other side was his destination. The devil didn't want Jesus to reach the other side because if he did, he knew Jesus would destroy the work he had in place. Beginning in verse 26, we read that the other side was the country of the Gadarenes, the home of the man who was possessed by legion, 6,000 devils, and he lived in a cemetery. The devils were cast out. The man was delivered. He went home, spread the news about his deliverance, and it opened the doors for Jesus to fulfill his assignment, the works his Father had sent him to do. And you can read all about that in verses 26 through 40. In closing, remember how I talked about how the storm was so horrific that it can cause you to make a decision to get off the road? It can cause you to get off the path that God has put you, that God has for you, and pull you off to the side so that you wait for the storm to pass. Let me share with you the rest of the story. I was in such a storm. I could barely see the road, but I continued to creep along because I wanted to reach my destination. I saw other travelers who had pulled off the side of the road, and they were waiting for the storm to pass. Wherever they were going, it was not as important as waiting for the storm to pass. The fear of driving in the storm was just too much for them. I continued to creep through the storm. You see, getting to the destination was important to me. About 2 miles up the road, I drove out of the storm into an almost blinding sunlight. 2 miles up the road. The sun was so bright it almost blinded me. If I hadn't continued to drive through the storm, if I hadn't decided to stay on the road, I never would have experienced driving into the sunlight. I didn't stop. I had a destination to reach. The storm has slowed me down, but it didn't stop me. Storms may slow you down, ladies and gentlemen, but they don't have to stop you. God has a destination for each of us to reach. He placed it in our hearts before the foundation of the world, and the enemy of the soul, the devil, has brought and will continue to bring storms into our lives that get our focus off of God's plan. I encourage you this morning not to let him do it. Sow the word of God deep into your lives. Read it. Meditate on it. Be like Jeremiah, who said, thy word was found, and I did eat them. And thy word, not, see, for Jeremiah, the word, he found it, but the word was the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. That's Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 15. When storms arrive in your life, the enemy of the soul wants to see how you're going to respond. Are you going to respond like the disciples did? Or are you going to respond like Jesus did? He wants to see if you really know who you are. He wants to know if you really believe that you are a son and a daughter of God in here. See, many of us, we know we're sons and daughters, but it's up here. Until it gets here. Stephen, you appreciate this. Until it gets here, you got nothing. You got nothing. Okay? Until it gets here, you got nothing. Okay? And see, that's how faith is. Until faith gets here, you got nothing. Okay? You like that, Stephen? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to know who we are and to start acting like it. So what is your storm? Sickness, unemployment, troubled marriage, rebellious children, debt. What is the storm you're facing this morning? I want you to know that whatever your storm, God has the answer. And his answer does not start with fear. It starts with faith. Take God at his word. Speak to your storm in faith. Peace be still. Amen? Amen. Amen. Everyone, please stand. I think one of the lessons that we in the body of Christ have to learn is that God can't do any more in our lives than he's already done. It's now time for us to take that seed that he's deposited on the inside of us when we got born again and to make that seed flourish, make it blossom, so that faith will build, so that we can do the things that Jesus said we could do. And that's what he wants. You know, God is a father, okay? I'm a father. Don, Lee, Sean, John. You know, and I know there are others. But fathers, they want to see their children grow up. They want to see their children gain independence from them by the things that they have been taught by us. That's what we want. We don't want our children always just depending on us. We want them to grow up and to depend on the things that we've taught them to know that they're true. God is no different. He doesn't want us depending on him like that in terms of we have to go to him to get everything, because he's already given it to us. He's given us our inheritance. And our inheritance includes authority over all the wiles of the enemy. Our authority includes the pecnos sabinos. All the power, we have power and authority. Remember back in Genesis chapter 1, he gave us power and authority over all his creation. All his creation. That word all is without exception. His creation. Angels. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, are what? Created beings. Amen? So we have authority over all his creation, which includes angels. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I encourage you today, ladies and gentlemen, walk in who you are. Get it from your head to your heart. Because until you do, you're going to be in storm after storm after storm. And you're going to be fighting in those storms after storm. Instead of saying, peace, be still. You know, I hadn't gotten there yet, but I'm looking forward to the day when I'm in a storm, I'm going to say, okay, we're done. Bye. See you. That's where I am going. That's where I am going. And I invite you to go with me, because as soon as you get to that place where storms are not an issue for you, blind is going to see. The lame is going to walk. You are going to raise some dead people. Hallelujah.